it was to be retained in Egypt. And in fact, the 10 brothers were told to go home and leave Benjamin behind because Joseph wanted Benjamin. Instead of going back, they refused. They came back to Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph, and they pleaded with him. Because basically they were saying, if they return home without Benjamin, Jacob may die. Too much. This is too much for him. And he says, the lad cannot leave his father. If he leave his father would die. But you say to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot. If our youngest brother is not with us, we cannot go down. If we go down, we may not see the man's face unless our younger brother be with us. And verse 30, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, the lad is not with us since this life is bound to the lad's life. It will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And your servants will bring down the grey hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant, that is Judah, he says, became surety for the Lord, saying, if I don't bring him back to you, I shall bear the blame forever. But how shall I go up, lest perhaps I see the evil that come upon my father? Now the brokenness has multiplied all around. From the father to the children to one another. And it's just multiplying. There needs to be a change. In chapter 45, Joseph was one who could not restrain himself anymore. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood before him. And Joseph made himself known to the brothers. And verse 2. One of the most touching moments in the book of Genesis. He wept aloud. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And he cried and cried. A great cry. See, the brokenness, the inside needs to come out. And on that day, everything came out. But here is where the healing began. Joseph says in verse 4, please come near to me. So they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. There are yet 5 more years. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you, to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 14 and 15. He fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. So in chapter 45, after 20 over years of brokenness, the healing began. How was the healing process? Number one. When they began to see that in all their brokenness, in all the imperfect things that has gone on in their life, in all the evils and the calamities that befell each one of them, in all the actions and reactions that took place within their home, their family, that crossed over 2 decades of pain. Number one, when they realize that no matter what brokenness or heartache they went through, God was still in control. That was their first step. Listen very carefully. There's nothing in your life, and no mistakes in your life, or the mistakes that other people do to you, or you to others, that can thwart the will of God from taking place. Because God is bigger than your mistakes. God is bigger than your father's and your mother's mistake. God is bigger than the mistakes of the loved ones around you. God is bigger than your own mistakes. Our God is a big God. And when He put you into a situation that was imperfect, He knew it. When you were born with those imperfections in your life, physically, emotionally, He knew it. Number one, when they recognize that God was still in control. That was their first step of healing. You say, why should that be the first step of healing? Because when we do not recognize that God is in control, we are also saying that He did not love us. And we're outside the sphere of His love. In order to recognize that God is in control, you also have to recognize that God is a good God. Environment and circumstances can be evil, but God is a good God. In order to accept His control in your life, you are also saying this. You are also saying that God loved me before I ever knew better. That God loved me before you ever make the mistakes and after you make those mistakes. That God loved you even before you were surrounded by errors and the failures of people around you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God loved each one of us before you were even born onto this planet. One of the first steps to healing of the brokenhearted is to accept that God is in control. And why is He in control? Because He loved you before you even learn how to love Him. Before you even had knowledge of His love. And there are three main points here. There is love, there is peace, and there is joy. For the healing of the broken heart to take place, we need to receive the love of God into our lives. You know, a lot of people don't have peace. And if you don't have peace, most likely you find it hard to have joy. You don't have joy in your life because you don't have peace in your life. You don't have peace in your life because you have not been touched by the love of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 that therefore being justified by faith we have peace with God. And then a few verses down it says that God shed abroad His love in our hearts. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, in chapter 1 too, it tells us we were made accepted in the Beloved. You and I are recipients of the unconditional love of God. That's the first step of healing. Because God loves you and because God is in control. You see, out of His love, He controls your environment. So that Romans 8 rings true. In each one of our life. Tells us here in Romans 8. And says in verse 28, we all know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to His purpose. And look at this wonderful scriptures that say in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God is in control because God loved you before anything happened. When you were first created. And He knew every event in your life. When you accept that He loves you. And He is in control. And when you accept that He loves you and He is in control. The brokenness begins to be healed. Joseph says, I can see God's purpose through all this. Through all the pain and the sorrow he bore. Through all the pain that his father went through. Through all the pain that his brothers has gone through. God was bigger than all their actions and reactions. And when they accept God's control, things began to change. There's still a lot of other types of healing to take place, as you can read in your story. But things began to change. Peace begins to come in the home. You know, when someone loves you, do you know it's so easy to want to love back? Isn't that true? And when we know that God loves us so much, it makes it easier for us to love God. In fact, I don't think any one of us could love God if He didn't love us first. I doubt any one of us will ever come to love God if He never loved first, if He never took the initiative to love in the first place. So the first part to healing is that God is in control because He loves us. He loves us so much. And in the statement of Joseph, when his brothers came forth, and they were told, Pharaoh was very pleased in chapter 45, in verse 16. Joseph's brothers have come, Pharaoh was told. It pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said, say to your brothers, do this. Load your animals and depart and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father, your households, come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt. You will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land to Egypt. our land of Egypt. For your little ones and your wives, bring your father and come. Do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. And you know what Egypt represents? The world.